Welcome to the My Canine Coach podcast, a show that coaches dog owners on how to achieve their ideal lifestyle with and for their dogs. You'll hear from Canine Coach Dana as she breaks down actionable dog training protocols, explores current dog training trends, and shares insights from her own experiences owning and working with dogs. Now, here's your host, Canine Coach Dana. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the My Canine Coach podcast. I'm your host, Canine Coach Dana, and I have a few housekeeping items to talk about first before we dive into the episode. The first one is that, yeah, I took a break. I found myself a bit overworked and understaffed as a solo owner and worker for my canine coach company for a few months there. So I had to put the podcast episodes on pause, but I am picking them back up again. This time around, they're going to drop whenever the topics come to me. So I don't intend to drop on the first of every month for the foreseeable future, but as certain topics come about in my lessons or in my education, I'm going to take the time to record episodes for you all to ensure that I'm continuing to provide you with the best information I can in regards to dog training. The second item to update you all on is that I have changed my dog's name. So before with my intro, I used to say that I was joined by my co-host, Loki, but moving forward, you're going to hear me say that I'm joined by my co-host, Jet, who is still the same Bohemian Shepherd. I just changed his name to Jetpack, or Jet for short, because I just like it better. At this point, he responds to Jet super well, so he's gotten accustomed to his new name, and hopefully you all will too very soon. So to kick off the return of these episodes, I intend for this episode to be a quick one, but we'll see how that actually turns out. I wanted to jump on here and talk to you all about conflict in training. It's not something that I find many owners keeping a pulse on as they're working on training their dogs, and I certainly wasn't thinking about it at all when I first got into dog training and for the few years following. It's really hard to look at the overall picture when you are so focused, especially at the start, with getting the skill techniques right for the first time, nailing your timing, and just navigating common pitfalls that you struggle to anticipate as a newbie trainer. I find now in my process, I don't always directly talk about conflict with a client either, because it turns into a larger conversation and I want to make the most out of the training time that we have together. Usually where it comes up is when the client redirects our training focus to the big issue that they're interested in tackling. These would be things like the dog is reactive on leash, or the dog barks at everything outside the house, or the dog won't come back when they call them. These are more complex training goals, and they require many steps to the process, often which one of those steps is telling the dog that they can no longer do something anymore. If we don't want the dog to bark out the window or blow up on walks or ignore us when we call them, we have to install a new rule with them that stuff isn't allowed anymore. And here is where we're in conflict with our dog. They want to do one thing, and we're stopping them and telling them they can't do that anymore. For these bigger behavior issues, that is a huge conflict point. They feel strong emotions when doing these things like barking or lunging or engaging in their environment, and we're trying to battle with those huge emotions. We're basically at odds with each other over a big issue in their world. So my preference in training process is to start with teaching the dog what they can do first. I want to enable the dog with multiple options to choose from when the other dog pops up on the walk or the neighbor walks out of the house to get the mail. Once I've convinced them that there are alternative things they can do in those situations, I still don't go after the big issue by telling the dog, no, that's not allowed anymore. What we do next is tackle smaller conflicts to establish a pattern and understanding with the dog that their owner is going to hold them accountable and will follow through on holding new boundaries. It's much, much easier on the dog and the owner to have these little moments of conflict first. The two of them can work out the kinks of testing boundaries, holding firm on the rules, and learning each other while in conflict. Small ways we can have these tiny conversations with the dog around conflict is making the dog wait for permission before they go out the back door, or asking them to sit when we're going to set their food bowl on the floor, or waiting for permission to go say hi to someone, or only being allowed on the couch to cuddle when they're invited. These are just a few examples. And in the grand scheme of things, do I give a shit if your dog runs into the yard as soon as you open the door? Absolutely not. I couldn't care less about them being able to sit and wait and then only go through that door when you say so. What I really care about in that scenario is the dog is looking to you for direction and understands there are rules to their behavior that they must abide by. The doorway is just a way for the owner to get that concept across to the dog. It's just a training aid to convince the dog that their owner has authority in certain scenarios and the dog is expected to follow their guidance. After we've had those conversations with the dog, they're much more willing and accepting of a hard no from their owner over a big emotional behavior that the dog is accustomed to being permitted to do. This also allows the owner to be less punishing toward their dog in order to convince them to stop doing the unwanted behavior, and it makes convincing them that this old pattern is now off the table and no longer an option so much easier, and it's way faster for us to get that concept across to them. We end up turning something that would have been a huge fight with the dog to get them to learn that they're not allowed to do that any longer into a smaller conflict point. Not as small as the micro learning lessons we did prior, but certainly much smaller and less intense of a conversation to have than if we entered that conversation over whether these big behaviors are allowed right from the beginning. By following this process, we end up reducing the magnitude of conflict overall. So the amount of conflict that the dog experiences and the amount of conflict that the owner brings into their relationship is significantly less. Now, one last thing to keep in mind about conflict between you and your dog that I actually only just cemented in my brain is being purposeful about providing your dog a balance between conflict and cooperation when you're addressing conflict in their training and in your relationship with them. When we have to train through conflict, we are disrupting the balance of our relationship with our dog by adding in more opposition between dog and owner than the two are accustomed to. It's important to be aware of this when training through conflict to ensure that if you are going to add opposition, it is extremely beneficial to also add in cooperation to maintain a nice equilibrium of the relationship between you and your dog. When you're training through conflict, you and your dog are at odds with each other, and so that throws your relationship out of balance. To make sure that both you and your dog especially are invested in maintaining your prior relationship despite the increase in opposition, it's very helpful to purposely add in activities where you and the dog are working cooperatively. Dogs only understand what they directly experience, so they are very much stuck in the present and don't have the ability to imagine future scenarios. So if all of a sudden their experience with you becomes more combative, it's difficult for them to imagine that this is only a temporary change to their relationship with you. And we, as the handler or trainer, can't explain that to them, that this is only a temporary training and they won't remain at odds with their handler or owner for the foreseeable future. And I'm sure we can all remember a time when we were at odds with someone that we had to work with. It makes our willingness to participate in things with them drop drastically. So in order to keep the dog invested in the training despite the conflict, it's an excellent plan of action to also incorporate cooperative activities. And there are a multitude of things that you can do with your dog as a team. There are a lot of dog sports you can participate in, like disc dog, scent work, sled pulling, and even just play. Something as simple as just making sure that you carve out time to play together with your dog in a low conflict game that allows them to be themselves and express their desires with you fully supporting them goes an incredibly long way toward maintaining a strong bonded relationship as the two of you navigate conflict. So my advice to you is, if you're training your dog solo, you're all on your own, try to be more conscious of the conflict that you're adding into your relationship with your dog. Treat it like a delicate balance. Don't overdo it by going after the big issues from the start. Work your way up to those issues by establishing a pattern of how you want your relationship to be moving forward. If you are working with a trainer, this is something that I would honestly, like, quote, test them on in a way, just to prompt them to explain to you how they are keeping the balance of conflict and cooperation in mind within the training plan that they are building for you and your dog. Now you have the education to enter a conversation with them about it and to advocate that a balance is struck between the two of those. In general, whether you're in training or outside of training, just make sure that you are being purposeful in adding cooperation back in when you are introducing opposition into your relationship. So that's it. Honestly, I think I nailed it in making this a quick episode to listen through, but still ensuring that we do cover it because it really is an important topic to share with you all. If you have any questions about conflict or any of the protocols that I shared, ask them in the Facebook group. I'll be happy to provide feedback in there. If you're not in the Facebook group yet, the link to the group is in the show notes down below. So that's how you can get in there and connect with other cool dog people, ask questions, post training videos, and just crowdsource information. If you'd like to get in touch with me about training or to give feedback or ask a question, the best way to do that is by visiting my website, mycaninecoach.com, and requesting a consultation, or you can send me an email at caninecoachdana@gmail.com, both of which are listed in the show notes for you. If you want a direct connection to me, you can subscribe to the email list via my website to get updates from all things Canine Coach. You get training tips, alerts when episodes drop, and for my email list people, I send a newsletter in the middle of each month that recaps all the major points of that month's episode, so you don't have to go back and listen to the full episode to review all the highlights. So jump on that if you want those emails, but most importantly, please like and write a review to help this show grow. That's the best way that you can support it and the information that I'm putting out there for you all. That's it though for this episode. I'll see you next time. Jet and I are going to go do some cool dog stuff.